At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on Football Full Circle, recapping week number 9 in the Sunday slate around the National Football League with one more game, a conclusion on a Monday in MetLife between the Chargers and the Jets. Looking back on the opening weekend of November as well in college football, a significant Saturday in the SEC and around the collegiate landscape. So thank you for joining us to start off a new week on FFC. He is Joe Lisi, the mastermind of the Pigskin, and I am Ben Stevens. Lazy guy, how was the weekend, my friend?
It was good, Ben. I mean, we had great games on tap, dead wrong on LSU, but still liked what transpired in terms of Oklahoma State and Oklahoma. Great college action. And then we followed it up with an unbelievable slate of the NFL, some upsets, and those Cincinnati Bengals continue to roll. They're starting to peak at just the right time.
Yeah, absolutely so, Joe, and that's where we begin. A marquee matchup Sunday slate around the NFL, where there was a marquee matchup in virtually every TV window, and that started bright and early in Frankfurt in Germany between the Chiefs and the Dolphins. So that was 9:30 a.m. Eastern time. In that early 1 p.m. window, it was the Ravens and the Seahawks. In the late afternoon, an NFC East rivalry between the Cowboys and the Eagles, capped off by Sunday Night Football in Cincinnati, the Bengals and the Bills. And Joe, it is the Bengals winning their fourth consecutive game. And think about how they've emerged out of the bye. A victory last Sunday on the road in Santa Clara against the 49ers, winning by 2 touchdowns. And last night, Joe, at home in Cincy, winning 24-18. The final score maybe not truly indicative of the game being in the Bengals' favor virtually throughout. Cincy scored on the opening drive of the game. Buffalo responded. The Bengals responded again, scoring on their second drive of the football game as well. As the Bengals win 24-18, excuse me. Joe, before I pitch it over to you, let's welcome in our Sports Grid Radio audience on Sirius XM channel 159. 159 on Sirius XM is the home for Sports Grid Radio. He's Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. You are listening to Football Full Circle. So the Bengals come through big, Joe, on Sunday Night Football 24-18 in a win over Buffalo. They cover as a slight 1.5-point home favorite.
Yeah, I mean, again, Joe Burrow's a dominating performance, 348 through the air, 2 touchdowns. But again, you know, we talk about it as well in terms of the pregame coverage that in order for the Cincinnati Bengals to win this ballgame, it had to be the dominance of the defense that continues to shine. And they held Buffalo under 100 yards rushing, 68 to be exact in terms of that matchup. Now, think about the last 3 ballgames that they have won, Seattle, San Francisco, and now Buffalo. That front 7 has played as good as anybody in terms of the AFC, and if that's the way they're going to continue to develop, they're going to be a very difficult out in terms of the wild card or even a division title should they win out over Baltimore. So again, Joe Burrow stepping up, he's obviously much more healthy than he was at the start of the year, but right. The reason why the success and the 4-game streak for Cincinnati has been the defense as well carrying through these last 3 wins, Ben.
Joe, they were a bottom five rushing defense entering week number 9, and yet Buffalo did not take advantage. 16 carries as a team for 68 yards. Josh Allen, 8 carries, 44 yards, Buffalo's leading rusher. But he only threw for 258 and did have an interception last night. Joe Burrow on the other side, 348 yards, 2 touchdown tosses. This is Joe Burrow. This is Cincinnati. And Joe, when you think about the Bengals, right, two huge games for Cincy following the bye against a very good San Francisco team, handing the 49ers their third consecutive loss on the road in Santa Clara. A litmus test. Would the Bengals be the team we expected them to be before the year got underway? That was check number one. And then in this matchup, Joe, against another AFC title hopeful in Buffalo, the Bengals hold serve. And Cincinnati gets that victory 24-18, covering as a 1.5-point favorite. Joe, because of it, since he is now in front of Buffalo in the AFC title odds, the Bengals plus 850, Buffalo a full dollar behind. The fifth best price now for the Bills at plus 950.
Yeah, again, I mean, the Bills right now are just middle-of-the-road football team. I don't have any confidence in the Buffalo Bills big picture because look at their road games. They have failed to step up in multiple opportunities. Started week one against the New York Jets without Aaron Rodgers for a majority of that game. Can't beat up on Zach Wilson. A couple weeks ago, they lose 29-24 to Mac Jones and New England, and they follow that up last night with another disappointing road loss. You're not going to win an AFC championship unless you get home field advantage, losing big ball games in the division on the road. So, again, I don't have a lot of expectations out of Buffalo moving forward. On the flip side for Cincinnati, I do believe in this team. This seems to be their MO. They start slow for whatever reason, but find their mojo in the middle to the second half of the season and carry that through. And this year's no different, Ben. So I think they are going to be right there with the Kansas City Chiefs in terms of the AFC.
Yeah, absolutely so. Again, a 1-3 start for Cincy. A hole to pick themselves out of, Joe. They are 5-3. They are one of three teams now in the AFC North with a 5-3 mark. Everybody looking up on the Baltimore Ravens, a 7-2 football team. We'll talk about Baltimore in just a moment. But, Joe, from the end of Sunday to the start of it, out in Frankfurt for the first time in NFL history, that international series revs up again. The Chiefs, Joe, out to a 21-0 zip lead at the break, but things got dicey in the final two quarters. Eventually, Kansas City holds on for a win, 21-14, Joe. They, too, also covering as a short 1.5-point favorite.
Yeah, and again, they're as much as Pat Mahomes, we've seen this now in a couple of games for Kansas City. The Jets in particular jump out to a 17-0 lead. All of a sudden, some turnovers, and they don't look as consistent. They lose their focus or whatever it is. They're not making halftime adjustments from an offensive perspective, but the one constant is that defense. That defense now has carried them through. That's one of the better defenses in terms of the AFC, but again, it's Pat Mahomes. He elevates everybody around him. He's the leader. And when Pat Mahomes is on point, they are a difficult team to beat. But I think it showed as well against a lethal offense in terms of Miami. That defense plays lights out, especially in big ball games. So, again, they deserve to be there. Gutty win. They held on. But still, all they do is find ways to win. And that's why they're the front runners to win the AFC.
Yeah, when you think about it, Joe, for this Kansas City team, they entered this weekend only averaging 23.4 points per game, middle of the pack in the NFL. Last year, following the opening 2 months of the season, 32 points per game, the best offense in the National Football League. This is not the Kansas City team that we have known over the past 5 years. It's defense first at the moment. They have only allowed, Joe, more than 21 points in a game once. That was now two Sundays ago against the Denver Broncos. The defense has led the way for Kansas City. A fumble return touchdown for the Chiefs late in the first half, giving them that 21-0 lead. We'll talk about the Dolphins on the other side. We'll look at the AFC title odds before we look at the NFC East rivalry between the Cowboys and the Eagles. That's up next here on Football Full Circle, live on Sports Grid Radio. Come back and join us here in just a few minutes on FFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on FFC. It's Football Full Circle all across the Sports Grid Radio Network. Sirius XM Channel 159 as well. Lisi guy, let's continue rolling through the marquee matchups on a Sunday. Joe, as we look at AFC title contenders, Miami still has the third best price following yesterday's loss in Frankfurt against the Chiefs. Yes, it was only a 7-point margin, but they did not cover as a 1.5-point underdog. Sure, as a 1.5-point underdog to cover, you're more than likely going to win the game outright if that is the trend you are following, but they didn't. And Joe, Miami this year is a perfect 6-0 against teams with a sub-500 record. When a team has a winning record, Miami is 0-3. They have conveniently been booked as the underdog in those games as well, and they are 0-3 ATS. It seems as though, Joe, the offense is great for the Dolphins, but when there's a step up in level of competition, at least at this moment, Miami leaves a little bit to be desired.
Yeah, and again, I talked about it on Pro Football Today, Ben. The biggest thing for me in terms of Miami is the running game doesn't take over in critical junctures in big spots on the road in Buffalo, Philadelphia, and yesterday. And yes, they ran the football in the second half of that ball game, but in the first half when they fell behind 21-0, they were completely one-dimensional, long third down situations, and they get pushed around in terms of a step up in competition in the trenches. Offensive line, defensive line, doesn't matter, right? That is the biggest MO of the Miami Dolphins. They're more, in my opinion, of a finesse type of team. Yes, they could play a lower scoring game, but it has to be with that right type of an opponent, an inferior type of opponent. We're not talking about like the Kansas City Chiefs or even when they play the Bills on the road. They just don't step up, and that is a mindset. I believe it starts with the head coach. Others don't. It's just a mentality that the Miami Dolphins have carried for years now, and you could go back to the days of Dan Marino and even further with Don Shula as head coach. They're just like they're a finesse type of offense and defense that needs the perfect opponent to defeat them, and that's why they haven't won an NFL championship in years now.
Yeah, and Joe, when you think about this Dolphins team, it wasn't really the defense. They held the Chiefs only 14 offensive points. Patrick Mahomes only 185 yards through the air. The offense wasn't great yesterday. Tua less than 100 or 200 as well. And Joe, for a game that featured a total of 51.5, it stays well under. So the Dolphins right now, that third best price in the AFC. The Chiefs are the favorites, plus 240. We already talked about the Bengals and the Bills. So who has that second best number? Well, that would be the Baltimore Ravens. Dominance yesterday, Joe, at home in the Charm City as a 6.5-point home favorite. Even that line, Joe, spoke to the strength of this flock side at the moment. Baltimore wins 37-3 over Seattle at home, covering as that near touchdown favorite. What a huge win for Baltimore, Joe. 297 yards on the ground as a team in the defense, holding Seattle to only 3 points, the best scoring defense in the NFL, Joe, so far this year, only allowing 15.1 points per game.
Yeah, again, held Kenneth Walker in the rushing attack to 1.9 yards per rush, 123 yards out of Geno Smith entering that game. They were only giving up 179 in terms of the back end. This is a legitimate defense. Last year it wasn't. This year it is, where if they do make a run in the playoffs, that defense can carry them. And again, we've seen them step up in competition against two NFC contenders, potentially in Seattle and Detroit, and they absolutely abused both of those teams in terms of those matchups. So again, Lamar is starting to progress in terms of the passing attack as well. They have balance, and that's what you want to see, right? They are starting to trend just like Cincinnati. Both of these teams are on a collision course potentially to meet up in the playoffs, if not, you know, a championship game. So we'll see how it plays out. At the end of the day, I still give Cincinnati the inside edge because they've been there, they've done that, and they're starting to hit stride. But you can't discount what John Harbaugh and Lamar Jackson have done now in multiple weeks in Baltimore.
Yeah, certainly so, Joe. The second time in the last 3 weeks, the Ravens have hosted a team that entered with the first place spot in their respective NFC division. First, it was the Lions, the favorites and the front runners in the NFC North. Then yesterday, it was the Seattle Seahawks, who entered in sole possession of first place in the NFC West. They hammer the Lions 38-6, easily covering it as a 3-point favorite. Then they hammer the Seahawks yesterday, 37-3, covering as a 6.5-point favorite. And Joe, there was a lot of conversation about what Todd Monken, the new offensive coordinator, would do for this Baltimore side. They still run the football incredibly well. Lamar had 60 yards on the ground, but how about Keaton Mitchell? 9 carries for over 120 yards and a touchdown. The rookie out of ECU gets the job done for Baltimore yesterday.
Yeah, again, they just find these guys, right? I mean, they coach them up. I mean, they found multiple players over recent years, you know, running backs, wide receivers, you name it, that just are plug-and-play type of guys. Maybe not dynamic, you know, marquee yearly performances, but on a week-to-week type of basis, these players have stepped up. Look at last week, Gus Edwards, 3 touchdowns on the ground. You know, the loss of J.K. Dobbins for the rushing attack, it just goes unnoticed. They find ways to get it done, and that's a testament to what John Harbaugh has built there in terms of this team. Can they continue remains to be seen, but, you know, as Lamar Jackson stays healthy, they're going to be right there with Kansas City and Cincinnati potentially as the top 3 teams in the AFC right now.
Yeah, I think so, Joe. I really think so. Baltimore has earned that respect. The AFC North is going to be an absolute gauntlet to get through. Joe, the Ravens right now, the best record, 7-2, a game and a half advantage over the other 3 teams in this division. That includes the Steelers, who won on Thursday night. The Browns, victorious yesterday at home against Clayton Tune, the rookie quarterback out of Houston for Arizona. And, of course, the Bengals with the most impressive victory, although the Ravens, a very impressive victory as well. The Ravens are the favorites, Joe, at minus 145. Do you think there's value in any other teams like backing Cincinnati, or do you think the Ravens will hold serve at least winning this division, and then we'll see what happens once we get to the playoffs?
Well, I mean, you know, again, 2 games out is still an opportunity to potentially steal it. I still believe in Joe Burrow, but again, I think they're, for them, in terms of how they started, forget in terms of winning the division. You always go to win the division, right, Ben? I mean, that would be the team for me. I can't buy in to anybody else outside of Cincinnati in terms of stealing the division. Maybe Cleveland, but I don't know the consistency of Deshaun Watson, and I'm just not a believer in terms of the offense for Pittsburgh. So it would be Joe Burrow or bust. Again, though, you know, he's got to stay healthy, but again, I think they have a shot, yeah. I mean, Cincinnati has proven to go on an 8-9 game heater at the end of the regular season, and they're starting to do it again. So if there's any other team that potentially can do it right now, I would say it would be the Bengals, and then after that, the Browns. But the Browns have to show me more from an offensive perspective with Deshaun Watson in the passing attack.
Yeah, when you look at Cleveland, Joe, 27-0, the victory over Arizona yesterday. Again, the rookie out of Houston, Clayton Tune, got the start. Joe, the Cardinals ran 48 offensive plays for a total of 58 offensive yards. That is how good the Browns defense was. In 5 home games now for Cleveland, the defense has held the opposition to 3 points or less. Yesterday, the shutout against the Cardinals, Deshaun was back. The props were limited because it was his return, but he went over every number, Joe, throwing for multiple touchdowns as well. 27-0, the victory for the Browns, Lisi guy, over the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, again, I mean, that was a game they had to win, right? They opened up as a 9.5-point favorite, got to double digits with Clayton Tune, and that was a one-dimensional offense. The fact that they shut them out is what they had to do, and it's nice to see Deshaun Watson play a full ball game for the Browns, Ben.
Right, there should be some optimism, and I think all 4 teams, Joe, in the AFC North have certainly set themselves up here at the halfway point of this NFL season to be in a postseason position at the end of the year. More around the NFL Sunday slate next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We're live right here on Football Full Circle. So, Lisi, guy, a part of the marquee slate on Sunday, the NFC East rivalry renewed between the Dallas Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles at the Link in Philly on Sunday. And what a game it was. Joe, the Dallas Cowboys went for it on fourth down with a minute and 17 seconds left, were unable to convert. They had to give the ball, of course, back on a turnover on downs to Philly. We thought the game was done under 2 minutes remaining, despite the Cowboys having all of their timeouts left. Well, Dallas was able to force Philadelphia into a three and out, but still had to go the length of the field virtually to score a touchdown, or at least where they got it, from around the 25-yard line. But Joe, with a couple of defensive penalties in a row on Philly, three against that Birds defense, Dallas got all the way to Philadelphia's 6-yard line. Then a penalty on Dallas, another penalty on Dallas, a sack by Josh Sweat on Dak Prescott, and the ultimate play of the game with no timeouts remaining. Dak throws short of the pylon to CeeDee Lamb, who is immediately tackled by a swarm of Eagles, even fumbled the football. Philly recovered, the game was over, and the Eagles survived 28-23. Joe, it was a wild game, it was a great game, but ultimately, Philadelphia improves to 8-1, even covering as a 3-point home favorite.
Yeah, hands down, best team in the NFC. They just find ways to win. And again, that defense bent, but they didn't break, right? That was the biggest thing. They found ways inside the red zone to force, you know, stops, force, you know, touchdowns against Dak Prescott in terms of the fourth quarter. Their offense stepped up. A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith yet again. And the rushing attack wasn't all that dominant yesterday, but it didn't matter because their trigger man, Jalen Hurts, stepped up with another solid, consistent in performance. And on the flip side for Dallas, Ben, again, the same issues. They're almost like the Miami Dolphins in terms of every step-up spot that they have or have had in recent years, two or three, right? San Francisco, not just this year, but in the playoffs and back-to-back seasons, right? They just don't get it done. They just don't have the mental resolve. They break apart, no discipline. They have a first and goal, to your point, at the six with less than 30 seconds left, the false start, the sack. Dak Prescott, you can't, if you're an elite quarterback, you can't take a sack there. What are you doing? So again, they just mental breakdowns. They just don't believe they can do it. And again, I'll put it on Mike McCarthy. You know, the pressure's on him. He gets them prepped and ready, and they beat up on mediocre average competition. But every step up spot, it's the same old Cowboys.
Yeah, I would agree, Joe, right? The game is not on Dak Prescott. It was not his fault. In a crucial juncture, he did take a sack, but credit to Josh Sweat for providing the pressure. And when you look at the stat line, Joe, for Dak Prescott yesterday, again, not everything can be dictated from a box score, but it was very impressive. 374 yards, three touchdown passes, was sacked five times, but 191 yards to CeeDee Lamb. On the other side, Jalen Hurts under 300 yards for the first time in a while, only 207, but two touchdowns. The Birds only 109 yards on the ground, just 3.3 yards per carry. The first game in six, or now seven, that A.J. Brown didn't have at least 125 receiving yards, although he did have seven grabs on nine targets for 66 yards and a touchdown. But Joe, that's a big win for Philadelphia. And some people might say, yeah, they snuck away with that one. They're not that good. They're 8-1. They're the best football team in the National Football League. And in my mind, Joe, the mark of a true champion, of a true Lombardi Trophy contender, of a true great team in the National Football League is, can you win games in a variety of aspects? Not when everything is perfect and according to the script, but can you pull things out? Can you hold on? Can you bend but not break? And Philly has shown that time and again, now 5-2-2 against the number this year as well.
Yeah, I agree. And again, they you know, Nick Sirianni is a great head coach. He's not just a good head coach. He is a great head coach because, again, even when they're not playing their best, they find ways to do it. And that's a testament in terms of Sirianni and the coaching staff getting these guys prepped and ready. They're from a game plan perspective, always prepared. The game plan is always legit to put the team in a position to score points and shut down their opponent. And again, they're never outclassed. The thing is, they don't get blown out. You know why? Because they find ways to just make adjustments. They find ways when they do turn the ball over, like they did a couple weeks ago against Washington, they just adjust. And that's what great teams do. Again, it might not be pretty, but we said this about Kansas City. What was it? The year after that they won the Super Bowl against San Francisco, they struggled in like one-score games. All right, they didn't win the bowl in terms of back-to-back, but they were still a dominant 13-win football team and still pulled out ball games. Same thing with Philadelphia. They are winning, and that is the bottom line. Forget the cover aspect. They even covered that line, but what I'm saying is they're winning, and they have one loss, and look at some of the other teams that were looked at as competition. Yeah. San Francisco, case in point, they fell off a cliff.
Yeah, and I bring up the cover aspect, Joe, to remind people how dominant Philadelphia is. We talked about the discount perspective of this 2.5-point, 3-point line by the time we got the kick on Sunday in Philly. They are beating teams by margin of what the odds makers expect to be the truthful margin of a football game. And that, to me, is, again, a profitable side in Philadelphia that finds multiple ways to win and cover. The Cowboys, meanwhile, booked as an underdog only twice this year. 3-point yesterday against Philly. 3.5-point spread against San Francisco a few weeks back. Their biggest rivals in the NFC, both historically and in the teams ahead of them, Joe, in the pecking order. And Dallas has come up short. Both times, both outright and against the spread. Philly right now, Joe, 2-1 as the NFC title favorites. They enter the bye. They need it. Dallas Goedert, a fractured forearm. He will have surgery. Jalen Hurts re-aggravated that knee injury he's been dealing with at times throughout this season. And on the other side, this was the first game, Joe, of a 5-game, 6-week gauntlet, including that bye week for Philadelphia, hosting Dallas. They come out of the bye Monday night on the road in Kansas City against the Chiefs. Then they go to Buffalo. Then they will come, or they, yeah, they will go to Buffalo. Then they come back to host the San Francisco 49ers before going to Dallas to even out that season series. Joe, this next 4-game span now, after passing the first test, will make or break Philadelphia's season, at least from where they want to be entering the postseason in terms of what that playoff positioning looks like.
Yeah, again, you know, I don't think, you know, Philly's going to have much push. I really don't. I don't see anybody else really pushing them for the number one seed. I think they have it locked up, assuming that Jalen Hurts is healthy, right? That's the biggest, you know, question mark. He got hurt down the stretch last year. You want to make sure he's healthy, but I don't see Dallas challenging them for the division anytime soon. And again, even though they have one more ball game, and I don't see anybody else coming out of the NFC, San Francisco or anybody else, Detroit, challenging the Eagles, as long as they don't have an injury to either Jalen Hurts or anybody on that defense. So for me, it's Philly or bust. They're there. And again, the way they're playing right now from a defensive perspective, again, I still think they could challenge Kansas City in a rematch. I think they would win it this time because I think their defense is a little bit better than where they were last year. But I guess only time will tell. We'll see if both teams can get there.
Yeah, and I just do want to say as well that I'm not saying that if Philly loses 2 of their next 4 games, they're in any danger of missing the NFC championship game or the playoffs or what. Like, it's just in terms of what that playoff positioning would mean for the Eagles moving forward. Joe, it was a wild day around the National Football League. We had those marquee matchups, the 4 we just broke down, and then a ton of other games that we thought on paper wouldn't be that appealing to turned out to be wild and crazy finishes. Let's start with history once again for CJ Stroud, who now holds 3
three rookie quarterback records. One to start off a career, two in the same game yesterday, Joe. 470 passing yards, the most ever in a single game by a rookie QB. Five passing scores, tying a record in the National Football League for the most passing touchdowns in a game. He started off his career not throwing a pick for his first 186 passes. That an NFL record as well. And Joe, he leads his Texans team back in the final 40 seconds, a six-play, 75-yard drive against the Buccaneers. Houston comes all the way back to win, 39-37.
Yeah, that was the party over on Pro Football Today for me. Over 40, we got 77, Ben. What do you think about that? I mean, an unbelievable performance, right? Nico Collins had a touchdown early. Tank Dell, all he does is catch footballs and produce. I mean, Noah Brown, the ex-Ohio State wide receiver, I mean, making huge plays. And C.J. Stroud distributing the football. And that's a testament to D'Amico Ryans and the offensive staff. I don't know if you watched the whole game, but they had Razzle Dazzle with Devin Singletary pitching the ball back to C.J. Stroud on like a triple option type of play. They're playing fun football. And that's what I love to see. And that's why I get so angry at Eberflus in Chicago in terms of handcuffing Justin Fields. And I know that's a different argument, but the offensive staff of Houston is allowing and calling a game plan according to C.J. Stroud's strengths. He was one of the top two quarterbacks with Bryce Young, deserved to be taken second overall, and he's producing. And right now, give him the offensive rookie of the year because he, with that performance, he delivered yesterday.
Start engraving the name. He's a minus 550, heavy odds on favorite now to win offensive rookie of the year. C.J. Stroud told his offensive lineman, Joe, as it was reported after the game, you get me the ball back in these final 40 seconds, I'm going to go win us a football game. And he did exactly that. He has talked often, Joe, already as a rookie with the leadership he holds as the face of this franchise, as restoring pride in the Texans in Houston. They are now 3-1 straight up at home. A few more NFL thoughts on the other side of the break here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We're live right here on Football Full Circle. A few more thoughts on the NFL Sunday slate. So, Joe, a wild one in Houston. The Bucs scored with 46 seconds left. It seemed as though Baker Mayfield found Kate Otten for what would be the game-winning touchdown, only for C.J. Stroud to say, yep, hold my beer. Four lead changes in the fourth and final quarter. The Texans win 39-37. One of those lead changes, Joe, involved Dare Ogunbowale, the backup running back, the former Wisconsin Badger, filling in for the Kyeeme Fairbairn injury. He is the kicker for Houston and drilling a 29-yard field goal. The first time, Joe, in a regular season game, a position player, a non-kicker, has made a field goal. Not a PAT, but a made field goal. Shout out Dare Ogunbowale. Elsewhere, Joe, a wild ending in Atlanta. The Falcons and the Vikings. Of course, Minnesota now without Kirk Cousins for the remainder of this year. They traded for Joshua Dobbs on deadline day this past Tuesday, and he had been, Dobbs that is, Joe, with Minnesota for 5 days, but he wasn't getting the start. It was the rookie out of BYU, Jaren Hall. Maybe in a couple of weeks, as Dobbs became accustomed to a new system under Kevin O'Connell, he could maybe provide some depth to that quarterback room, but Hall had earned the job. He was going to be the guy, except he got knocked out of the game into concussion protocol early in that opening half. So Joshua Dobbs does what not many can do, Joe. Learn on the fly. What this guy has done in the last less than calendar year of his NFL experience is absolutely remarkable. Yesterday, Joe, in Atlanta, 20 of 30, 158 yards, two touchdown tosses, 66 yards on the ground, crucial run after crucial run, including getting fourth down conversions and a rushing score as well to lead the Vikings back to a 31-28 victory. Joshua Dobbs, Joe, deserves all the credit. He is the fastest learner I've ever seen in NFL history.
it's amazing that he has done this not once but twice this year.
Week one
to get that victory over Washington as a member of the Arizona Cardinals, and he follows that up with a dominating performance yesterday. It really shows that with the right quarterback, these guys can learn. Give them an opportunity. It's amazing in terms of how the drop-off is with some of these backup quarterbacks in the NFL, and all Josh Dobbs does is produce. Again, you know, the rushing attack with Madison and Cam Akers didn't really even get going until the second half of that ball game. He did it through the air, on the ground. He's a gutty player. And here's the thing. If he plays like that the rest of the way, they can be a wild card team and make some noise the way their defense, you know, potentially could force some turnovers. Because the defense was carrying that team through. Even in the victory over San Francisco, they shut down the rushing attack. They got abused a little bit yesterday, but they still found ways to give them back the football and put them in a position to win. And I think they could be a potential 10 or 11 win football team with Josh Dobbs at the helm, especially if Justin Jefferson comes back, Ben.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Joe. And think about this Vikings team. We'll get back to Dobbs in just a moment. But Minnesota's won 5 of their last 6 games since starting off 0-3. They've won 4 in a row. Joe, you're right. At 5-4 right now, if the season were to end today, which it doesn't, we still have halfway more to go, the Vikings would be that 7th and final NFC playoff team. But, Joe, we're in November. As we get deeper into November, because we're at the midway point of this NFL season, at the conclusion of week number 9, 18 regular season weeks, of course, now in the National Football League. We're going to see the In the Hunt graphic on game broadcast. We're going to start to have the playoff conversation, and Minnesota, in a rather weak NFC, might have an opportunity to stay in that playoff race. Joe, you mentioned the 2 times Joshua Dobbs had done this year. It's not even all of it, because you think about last year in the final month with the Tennessee Titans, signed off the street 8 days before his first ever NFL start, filling in for Ryan Tannehill, and then taking that job the remainder of the year. It didn't work out in Nashville. Of course, they went their own way. Tannehill was back, drafting Will Levis, so on and so forth. So 2.5 weeks before the year starts in 2023, when we all expected to be the veteran who had the experience in Arizona, Colt McCoy, to be the guy to lead them into battle until Kyler Murray was back. He gets released, and Joshua Dobbs, who had been there for 2 weeks, becomes the starting quarterback, and Arizona started off the year a perfect 3-0 against the number, including that outright upset of the Dallas Cowboys week number 3. Then things don't really work out in Arizona. The Cardinals see an opportunity to get some value back for Joshua Dobbs. They trade him to Minneapolis on Tuesday. 5 days later, he's filling into a game where he's never taken a rep at practice. He has never taken a snap from his center. He doesn't even know half the players on his team's name, Joe, and leads them almost single-handedly to a victory. Truly sensational stuff out of Joshua Dobbs. All right, Joe, as we end it out here, things are really bad for the New York Giants. They lose yesterday in Las Vegas 30-6 to a team that had fired their head coach, general manager, and offensive coordinator in the last 5 days. And the G-men were booked as the dog, and they couldn't even cover, losing 30-6 against a rookie quarterback in Aiden O'Connell. But, Joe, they got Daniel Jones back briefly yesterday. He goes down with an injury. It is confirmed, a torn ACL on this Monday for Daniel Jones. He's going to miss the remainder of this season.
Yeah, and, you know, bad. You know, the team came out flat. I understand Daniel Jones got hurt. Tommy DeVito from your Syracuse Orange and Don Bosco Prep couldn't come in and do anything in terms of the passing attack. But again, the defense gave up a ton of yards on the ground to Josh Jacobs, and that Las Vegas rushing attack that was basically non-existent for the first half of the regular season. That's a testament to what Antonio Pierce did in terms of getting those guys up and prepared yesterday. Aiden O'Connell stepped up. I don't know, Ben. I have mixed feelings about the New York Giants. Again, they were only pegged as a 7-win football team last year. They overexceeded expectations, and, you know, they win a playoff game. They get boat raced by Philadelphia, and it's New York. It's go big or go home. They attach themselves to Daniel Jones long-term as being the face of the franchise. And I understand he got hurt multiple times, ACL and neck. Is this the guy to lead your team forward for the next 3 or 4 years? And more importantly, where is this team from a coaching aspect? Completely no passing attack whatsoever. How are you going to win games in the NFL, and let alone the NFC East, when you have to play Dallas and you have to play Philly two times each, and even Washington in terms of that passing attack with Sam Howell? How are you going to compete? So what have they done, Shine and Brian Daboll, in the 2 years? I understand they succeeded last year, but they had nothing in the cupboard coming into this year.
Yeah, and they still don't, Joe. And they're tied to Daniel Jones through at least next season. Well, think about Daniel Jones's future. Has he taken his last snap as a New York Giants quarterback? Maybe so. There is some guaranteed money that is owned his way, but the way that the deal was structured by Joe Shane was to be able for the Giants to get out after 2 years if, in fact, Daniel Jones returned to the way he played his first 4 years in the NFL and not year number five. Tough stuff for the New York Giants. It seems Tommy DeVito is going to be the starter the rest of the way. If he does start on Sunday, Joe, that will be the 10th rookie quarterback to start a game this year. That sets a single season record in the history of the National Football League. Some have been good. They have earned the starting spot. Others, it's just the way the chips have fallen. And Joe, you could see with the post-game celebration how happy the Raiders were to have Josh McDaniels the F out of town. They loved everything. There was cigar smoke emanating from a Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas as the Raiders score more than 21 points, Joe, for the first time this season. They end with 30, a big win for Antonio Pierce as the new interim head coach out in the desert. All right, Joe, let's turn our attention now to college football. What a Saturday it was. Five ranked versus ranked matchup with the new CFP rankings taking hold. Joe, we start in primetime. Two great games in Tuscaloosa, LSU and Alabama. A top 15 clash goes the way of the Crimson Tide. 42-28, Alabama covers as a 3.5-point home favorite. It was the battle, Joe, through the first three quarters of Jaden Daniels, the quarterback for LSU, and Jalen Milroe, the quarterback on the other side for the Crimson Tide. Both run for more than 150 yards on Saturday. Milroe, 4 rushing touchdowns. Jaden Daniels, unfortunately, Joe, with LSU down by 2 touchdowns, was knocked out of the game in the fourth quarter on what was called targeting on Dallas Turner, the outstanding edge rusher for the Crimson Tide. But because of that hit, Joe, he was placed in concussion protocol, would not return. Garrett Nussmeier, the backup quarterback, who's good for the Bayou Bengals, just wasn't able to muster up enough to lead a comeback victory. Alabama wins 42-28.
Dominating. I said it earlier. I was wrong about LSU, and both quarterbacks stepped up, but it was the LSU defense that couldn't stop. Jalen Milroe wasn't through the air. It was on the ground in the rushing attack. 4 touchdowns. That was an Alabama record for a quarterback in regards to that type of performance, and he proved that, you know, he could lead this team. Again, are they going to be there in the end? I don't know. I got to be honest. The way Daniels, you know, torched them for 150-plus on the ground, that's something that we haven't seen from a Nick Saban defense in recent years. Granted, they gutted it out. They found a way to get it done. They have Kentucky and then Auburn. But I think, you know, in the college football playoffs, should they get there, there's some teams that can knock off Alabama. Gutty win, they deserve to win it in Tuscaloosa. But big picture, I still have concerns about the Alabama defense.
Yeah, I get that, right? But I think Jaden Daniels is that type of player. I believe Jaden Daniels is a guy that is just so magnificent in the way he plays a quarterback, having one of the best seasons we've ever seen an FBS college quarterback have, that you could expose some of those weaknesses. Not everybody, Joe, has a Jaden Daniels. We'll see, though, right? It's a fair point to give up 28 points to LSU. The reason I was high on Alabama is because of the Bayou Bengals defense, the one thing Jaden Daniels cannot control, and we saw them get absolutely torched by Alabama on Saturday night. Speaking of bad defenses, Joe, Alex Grinch, no longer the defensive coordinator in Southern California, fired by USC on Sunday following a Saturday night performance that saw his defense allow 52 points to the Washington Huskies. A combined 94 points in the game, Joe, over a steep total of 77.5, as Washington remains perfect. They improve to 9-0. They cover as a short 2.5-point favorite in the Coliseum on Saturday night in Los Angeles. 52-42, the win for UW over USC.
What took so long for Alex Grinch, right? That was the one that put the nail in the coffin, the 52 performance by Washington and UW. But Kalen DeBoer has done a fantastic job. Saw a statistic. He's like 7-1 against top-ranked opponents in his tenure there. Testament to the Huskies. They were battle-tested. They found ways to pull it out. And Michael Penix, again, stepped up. You want to see your quarterback, your marquee guy, the Heisman Trophy, you know, front-runner or one of. Right now, he stepped up. He ran it in. He was a 4-1 shot to get that in terms of that ball game. Defense made enough plays, and they got their football back in terms of the fourth quarter and allowed Michael Penix to seal it with a 10-point victory. You know, again, USC underachieved this year. Three losses for that ball club was totally disappointing, but credit UW, a quality road win. Now they have to continue against Utah this week.
They underachieved in maybe one of the most disappointing ways you will ever see. Caleb Williams is one of the most talented quarterbacks we have seen in college football in the last two decades. He's not going to win a conference championship, and he'll never play in a college football playoff. That is Alex Grinch's fault. We're back on FFC for just a few more minutes for a few final thoughts around the weekend that was in college football next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We're live right here on Football Full Circle. Joe, it would not be a proper program if we did not talk about the final bedlam as Big 12 opponents, potentially the final bedlam ever. Oklahoma State, Oklahoma on Saturday in Stillwater goes the way of the Pokes. Mike Gundy gets the last laugh in the history of bedlam between the Sooners and the Cowboys. 27-24, the victory for Oklahoma State. Joe, they rally in the fourth quarter to knock off the Sooners. Ollie Gordon, the second, sensational again, 137 yards on the ground, two rushing scores. Allen Bowman played a fine game as well. And Oklahoma State, Joe, takes the final bedlam, maybe of all time.
Yeah, Ollie Gordon was the difference. And the defense, again, very opportunistic. They forced turnovers against Dylan Gabriel, and they shut down the run in the second half of that ballgame. I watched the whole game, Ben, but obviously without sound. Why are we going on the Stoops touchdown? He didn't even have control in the end zone. Yeah, his feet were in potentially, but by the time he had control, he was out of the end zone. I don't know what Oklahoma fans are talking about. That was a dominant effort by Oklahoma State. They deserve to win. Stop the controversy already. And this team is trending potentially for a Big 12 showdown in the championship game with Texas.
Well, Joe, I think they wanted that to be a pass interference call, making it an uncatchable ball for Drake Stoops. I don't necessarily agree. The ball seemed like it was out of the end zone and uncatchable at any point. Kansas knocks off Iowa State. The Cyclones now 4-2. Oklahoma suffers their second Big 12 loss. They're 4-2 in league play, two straight L's. Texas survives in overtime against K-State. The Wildcats now have two losses. Joe, only two teams in the Big 12 with a single conference loss, the Longhorns and the Cowboys from Stillwater. Maybe that is the final Big 12 championship matchup that features Texas in the league. A lot of college football left to go over the final 3 weeks of this regular season. He's Joe Lisi. I'm Ben Stevens. But we'll talk to you tomorrow on Football Full Circle starting at noon Eastern Time.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.